Hello, beautiful, and welcome to Pure Happy Healthy. This is a podcast all about mindfulness in different fields that are dear to my heart. Join me for Mindful Me sessions, Mindful Model, Mindful Mensch, and Mindful Master, and dive into beautiful conversations. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mindful Masters. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just cannot sleep. Usually I have a really, really good sleep and I can sleep a lot and I love sleeping. But then there are these nights when, yeah, it just feels difficult falling asleep. Then you keep on waking up and everything just seems uncomfortable in your bed and you wake up in the morning and you feel completely unrested and unrecovered. And then usually I find out afterwards that it was full moon. So I'm pretty sensitive to the moon cycles, and I know from a lot of other people that also really notice it in terms of their mood, but especially in terms of their sleep. So isn't it surprising that we can feel the influence of the moon in our bodies and in all aspects of our life? But if you think about it, actually, it's not even that strange because we consist of so much water. And as we know, the moon has such a big impact even on the oceans and on the seas and the water generally. So considering that we consist of so much water, it's no surprise to me that also it influences our body and our well-being and our behaviors. So this week I will be speaking with astrologer Amber Harkin, and we get to speak about what the moon and the stars do to us and how they have an impact. So if you're still a critic of astrology, you should definitely listen to this episode, because that's one question I was asking myself so many times, like, how does this actually work and how can we maybe prove that this works, or do we even need to prove that it works? Because when I see myself and also others and compare to their charts what kind of characteristics stand for this chart, it's always so surprising to me how well it suits to every person. And then there's so much more than just the regular star sign. There's the moon sign, there's the rising, and then we have many, many other signs as well, like the moons and the houses. And it's just such a complex topic that each time I'm speaking with an astrologer, this has been my third time already on this podcast, so also definitely check out the previous episodes, I learn so much more again about astrology and about the width of this topic, how big this topic is, and that there's always so much more to learn. I will also speak with my guest today about spirituality and what that actually means, or at least what it means to her, as I think we all have very different perceptions of the term spirituality, and about the term spiritual bypassing. I'm sure, especially in these times, you have countered this term quite a lot. It's big in the media, at least in the spiritual community. So what does that actually mean, spiritual bypassing? Not too long ago, I didn't even know what that was, and I really had to investigate a little bit. So if you also stumbled upon that term, you should definitely listen to this episode. You will get so much clarity about this term, what it means, what spirituality can mean, everything you want and need to know about the stars. So without further ado, let's welcome Amber Harkin to the show. And before we get started, just a little note, please screenshot this episode and post it on your social media. It would be so great if even more people have access to this amazing conversation and to this value of this podcast. So tag me, tag Amber at Cosmic Playground, and send it to a friend, send it to a family member who is interested in that topic and needs to know more about it. And please leave me a 5-star review. It always helps so more people can find this podcast. So let's get started with this amazing episode with Amber Harkin. So today I got Amber in the interview and she's an astrologer. We will find more out about her in a bit. But first of all, hi and welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to dive into, we're going to talk about Saturn, are we? A little bit?
Yes.
Maybe? Yeah.
Yes, please. I'm super curious to find out more about this as this is such a big topic for everyone, I think. But we were just chatting, you're in beautiful Australia at the moment, and that means it's already really late in the evening now for you and it's morning here for me. So if you can still remember, I would love to know, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
I actually fast until about 12 o'clock. And I generally break my fast with a nutritious elixir of sorts. So whether I'm trying to cut down on coffee, so generally it's like a decaf situation and I put in adaptogens and I blend it with some fats and collagen. So I guess you could call it like a bulletproof. I'm not sure if you know what that is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sort of like that, but my own version of it. And I just find that really, I don't know, it sets me up for the day. I'm very mentally clear and I'm just not like hungry for food at that time. So yeah, that's what I generally have.
Wow. So interesting how different people are, because I'm such a massive breakfast person. If I wake up, I already wake up hungry and I need breakfast immediately when I wake up. Otherwise I get, my brain doesn't work and my body doesn't work. It's just nothing functions for me. And if I skip breakfast, I will be hungry all day long and I keep on having cravings and like I cannot think straight. So when people tell me they skip breakfast, this is always unbelievable for me. But I think it's beautiful that we're all different. And then it's so important to just listen to your body, whatever feels good to you, and go for that. Yeah,
that's exactly right. That's why I just think it's, you could never give anyone a set diet protocol. So I actually years ago studied an integrative health course. It was like a year study. And the main thing that we learned from that was that everyone is completely different. It's bio-individuality. There's just not one diet that fits all. So to prescribe someone something or have like a diet protocol that this is the way that you're going to, you know, get to this goal, it just doesn't make sense. And I guess the main thing that I learned from that was to tap into your intuition and really listen to your body, to what really suits you. And I just found that intermittent fasting for me, because I have, you know, some hormonal imbalance, that really helped me when I actually started fasting and integrating good fats in my diet. That like changed a lot for me. So anyway, that was a bit of a tangent.
Yeah. But it's so important, I think, because it confuses so many people hearing about all these different diets and this is good for you. No, that is good for you. You should live like this and you should live like that. But I think in the end, as individual, as we look as individual, as our taste is and everything about us, also what we need, because also our gut bacteria is so different that we need different foods. I mean, of course, there are some certain rules like sugar is not good for anyone if it's too much, or like preservatives or any foods that are highly processed. I mean, that's basic laws, right? But that's, in my opinion, that's not food. That's something very artificial that our body does not need. But as long as we eat whole foods, whatever it is and however it is, I think we need to really tune in with ourselves. So you were already saying that you did the holistic nutrition class. Would you like to tell a little bit more about your background and about also your story to become an astrologer? I think this is a very, very special path to go. So how did you end up becoming an astrologer?
Well, I have tried a few different things in my life. I feel that I have always because of my dad. So when I was growing up, my dad had this amazing telescope at our holiday house, which was by the beach. And when we would go and stay there, because when you're away from the city, the sky is so clear, we would always like look at the stars and gaze at like the different planets at night. And that's just such a memory that's always stuck with me. So I've sort of grown up knowing about space, the cosmos, UFOs. My dad would always talk to me about UFOs. You know, that's always sort of been a dialogue. So I guess that's always been underlying in my childhood. And then growing up, I went into beauty. So I studied beauty therapy and I did that for a bit. And then I went into health and I did that for a little bit. And then I fell pregnant. And that really changed my life, just becoming a mum. And that was at the time of my Saturn return, that whole period of my life. And I guess we can explore that to come. But that really shifted everything for me. And that was a big identity, rediscovering myself. I found that the birth of my child was a rebirth of the true me. And I just fully came back to everything that I was naturally just drawn to, which was everything mystical, esoteric. I found my, funnily enough, when I was, I think I would have been maybe about 10 years old, I bought my first tarot deck. It could have even been 8. And I put it in a box and I didn't even realize that I still had that box with me. And not long after my son was born, I was going through some things and I found this box and I was like, oh my God, like that's really weird. I haven't seen that for so long. And I opened it and my old tarot deck was in there and I was like, oh my God. So then I really got into tarot when I started to do readings for myself. And then along with that, I started to play around with reading natal charts. And I guess that's when I started self-studying astrology. Not long after that, I decided that that is what I wanted to do. I really, really loved reading natal charts. So I decided to enroll in a certification. Not that you have to be certified as an astrologer, because it is an unregulated industry of sorts. But for me, I sort of wanted that for myself. So I put myself through a certification with a credible astrology school in Australia. And that just like propelled everything. I just fell into it, launched my business the beginning of last year. And I've just been studying and practicing and making it a part of my everyday life ever since. So, yeah.
Wow, such a cool and interesting story. You went through all of this and somehow it feels it's still all interconnected in terms of like spirituality and like wellness and health. Just until recently, I didn't even know that there was schools for astrology. So how can we imagine like an enrollment of the study of astrology? What's the content or what do you learn there?
Good question. So astrology is another language, as we know, and there are definitely foundations to build upon to actually be able to have the tools to start to interpret a natal chart. So the foundations would be understanding the archetypes, so the signs, understanding the planets, understanding the houses, and then building upon that with other techniques like forecasting techniques, which is when you actually get to look at what's happening to a natal chart. So we start to look ahead and see what's happening and just seeing what's to come for that person. So we look at forecasting, we look at relationship astrology, so where we can put two charts together. So there's so much more to build upon. The framework of like enrolling in an astrology school is certainly find a mentor or a school that you really align with that is, you know, because the industry is unregulated, anyone can start a school and say, you know, this is what we're doing. So I really feel like if anyone's listening to this and they're interested in this path, do your research on the school, do your research on the teacher and what their work is all about. And also, you know, look around and ask questions and contact them and just get a bit of a preview of what their work is like. And then for me, when I was researching this school, I watched a few of their videos. It just felt really aligned. And I was like, yep, I want to learn from this person because this astrology school is like really in their integrity. And that really aligned with me. So, yeah.
So you were saying in your childhood or growing up, you learned a lot about astronomy, looking into the stars with your dad, talking about this a lot. So in which extent do we have to know something about astronomy in order to understand astrology? Or would you say it's two branches that are really not connected with each other?
100% they're connected. They have to be. I feel that within when we're learning about astrology from a perspective of learning it at a college or a school, there's not enough astronomy in that. It's really upon the astrologer to do the research themselves and build upon that. It just makes such sense to look at the astronomy because it just goes hand in hand with what's happening. Astrology was the first actual science in which astronomy was born from. So that astronomy was born from astrology originally. So it makes sense to have an understanding of actually what is happening. And that also takes it out of being such a far off concept because it actually brings in the connection to that's actually happening up there. You know, it's like, stop looking in your books and actually look up at the stars and see if you can find where Venus is, because you can often track where it is. You can, like, we just had the great conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, and that was visible in the sky. Like, go out and have a look at that, because then that will also show you where Aquarius is, because that's where it happened. So it's like bringing that connection into, like, that it's actually a tangible study that's actually happening. So it just makes it all, for me, it just makes more sense to understand the astronomy a little bit.
I know that there are a lot of critics out there because I've talked to critics of astrology. So is there any ways how we can actually prove that it works, or how can we see that the stars have an impact on us?
That's a great question. I was listening to this great podcast and the person being interviewed was actually a physicist and an astrologer. So that's like, for me, that was like, wow. She was explaining the actual physics behind astrology and the impact that planets have on us. And the way that she explained it that makes so much sense, which is what I'll share with you, is that we are all vibrational beings. Everything on this earth, everything physical is matter, which vibrates at a certain hertz. And so if we look at the planets, every planet vibrates at a certain hertz. And so, for example, I'll give like a full moon example. So when we have a full moon, and a lot of people are like, why do I feel so funky on a full moon? It's because the actual gravitational pull that the planets have on us affect us. If you think about the sun being on one side and the moon being on the other side, we have an equal polarity happening. So on like an actual vibrational level, the planets are vibrating the sun and the moon at an equal polarity. And so therefore that energizes us as an organic being. So because we are constantly receiving energy exchanges from, you know, the planets, from the environment, from everything, we're energetic beings, we vibrate and we respond to vibrations. You know, we're very much like tuning forks, in a way. So the effect that the planets have on us is on a vibrational level. So with the sun and moon in opposite positions in the sky on a full moon, this is an equal vibration, which actually energizes us. So, which is often why under a full moon, we feel like we've got, you know, energy, or we feel like it's like we need to do something. Whereas on a new moon, is when you have the sun and moon together on one side. So if you think of that, that is unbalanced. It's all sort of like on one side. So that is generally why the energy feels a little bit more imbalanced. So we're generally a little bit more tired on a new moon. We're sort of more inwards, like there's a pull to be more by ourselves on the new moon energetically. It's because there's actually a physical vibrational thing happening. So that's one way you can look at it, which I find very fascinating. Obviously, there's more to it. I'm not a scientist, but there's definitely study in that area happening, which is really exciting, and I can't wait to learn more about that. But I definitely believe in, on an emotional perspective, how can the moon not have an impact on us when it affects water, when it affects plant growth? How can it not have an effect on us? We're not different to anything natural. So it just makes sense on that perspective.
Yeah, and we consist of so much water. So when it has an impact, the moon on the ocean or on the seas, then like, how can it not have an impact on that little water that is inside of us? And I have to say, I'm a really sensitive person, but I do feel always the moons. And I always feel when there's planetary conjunctions on the sky and so on. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because I feel like the attributes that you put onto every star sign, they really suit so well to everyone I know. And even if it's often like a generalization, and it depends on so many more factors of all the houses and the moon and the rising sign and so on, but it's like the general trend and the general characteristics of everyone I know, they suit so well with their sign. So how can it not be true when actually all of this fits together? So I'm really curious to know, we already talked about it. We already made everyone curious about this topic since we started talking. What is it about this Saturn return? I'm super curious, like, what is it? Because it impacts all of us, I suppose, between the age of like 27, around 32 or something. Could you tell a little bit more about this?
Yes, definitely. It's the most well-known transit for sure, because Saturn it's a planet that is based on time. So it is making us aware of the concept of time. So in that sense, as we age, we're maturing. And as we go through life, we understand that of the concept of time, it's like, what are we doing with our time? Where are we going in our lives? So Saturn, I like to think of as the karmic keeper. It keeps us accountable to what we signed up for in this lifetime. So that's why a Saturn return is, because it's the first time that Saturn comes back to itself in its own cycle. So it takes about 29 years for a Saturn cycle to, you know, for each individual person. So that's why around the age of anywhere between 27 to 29, a Saturn return will be felt. And I like to say to the person that it really just depends on how involved you have been in knowing who you really are until that point. So the Saturn return is very much a identity awakening, because it's this concept of who am I and what am I doing here. And when your Saturn return comes, it's like, oh my God, I'm an adult. Like, there's this whole other realm of responsibility that I haven't even thought of. And so that's why for some people it feels really hard, because they've done anything and everything to escape a sense of responsibility or accountability until that point, which is why for some people a Saturn return will feel so hard if they haven't taken the time to know themselves, which, I mean, who does when you're in your 20s? Some people do, and I think kudos to them, but a lot of us don't, because it's not in our culture to have transitions through life to help us into the maturation process. You know, when we're 18, like in Australia, you have an 18th birthday and you go out and you get drunk. You can buy alcohol, you can smoke cigarettes legally, you can drive a car. That's like, woohoo, you're an adult. But it's like we're missing such an important piece in our culture. Adulthood is so much more than being able to legally drink and smoke. It is like we need a rite of passage for that. And I think that's why Saturn returns are generally a hard time for a lot of people, because we haven't had the assistance in our growth due to culture and, you know, circumstances and our caregivers, lots of reasons. So that's why, like for me personally, my Saturn return was huge, and it was literally an awakening for me. I had my son at that time, and everything just was so different from that point onwards, and I never turned back. I never looked, it's like I can't even recognize my old self in a way. Everything just, for me, it was a very interesting transition. I wouldn't say it was really traumatic. I would say it was a very interesting transition into adulthood, where I viewed the world and I viewed myself in a very different way. So with Saturn, I would say for anyone entering the Saturn return, so everyone who has Saturn in Aquarius now will be in their Saturn return. And I think that's from about the years of 91 to 94. If you're born in that time, you'll be entering your Saturn return within the next few years. And that's just, I look at it as such an amazing opportunity for growth. And that's how I encourage my clients to see it. Such an amazing opportunity for growth. And the things that happen in your Saturn return are so karmic. It's just like you can't explain why it's happening. It's happening for the greater good, for your growth, for your maturity, for the evolution of who you are and what you're here to do in the world, so what you signed up for when you incarnated. That's how I look at it.
So that means that we probably find our real purpose also around this time, or the possibility is very high.
I would say that, again, I feel like it's so dependent on your circumstance growing up and how supportive it was for you to grow into the person that you were meant to be. Because it's so in our culture for a lot of us to conform and be a certain way in society that we grow further and further away from ourselves and who we truly are, which is why the Saturn return is like, no, this is who you are. It's reminding us that is who we are. So again, it's very dependent, because I do know a lot of younger people that are in very supportive environments with their caregivers that are really going on this journey so young that I never even thought about until my Saturn return. So I think it's very individualized, but for the most of us, it is like a return home to ourselves. And also, like you said, a remembering of why we're here and our purpose in a way. So things just tend to be a little bit clearer, I suppose, around the Saturn return and after the Saturn return, for sure.
You just said that, you know, quite a few young people now who are already very much on their path and very conscious about things. And weirdly, I also saw somehow this development. I have younger siblings, so I know them and their friends. And when I look at younger people, I feel like there's so much more awareness now, starting really, really early. Also, if you look at TikTok, for example, I mean, of course, the platform also has its downsides, but there's so many young people who really stand up for very conscious, aware topics. And I'm really surprised, because when I was in that age, I really didn't think about all of this. And also seeing all these very young influencers like Greta Thunberg and mm-hmm. and so on, that I feel like this didn't happen in our generation. So mm-hmm. What is that about? Is there like a trend also that can be seen by the stars, that people are getting younger and younger, or there is like a general awareness maybe more in society?
Definitely, it's a generational thing. So within everyone's chart, we're all of our planets combined, but we also share generational planets. So for example, the outer planets like Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, we share those planets generationally in a sign with people around us. So I'm the Pluto in Scorpio generation. And for us, I feel like it was all about, I generally see a theme of we're all dealing with our shadow, and we're all undoing the trauma, and we're all cutting the ancestral wounds, and we're all doing that sort of stuff. So if you think Scorpio is all about getting to the truth, it's all about transformation. It's like, I feel for the Pluto and Scorpio generation, it's like we're getting in and we're doing the work. I find that there's a generation that is, you know, in the 90s that have so many signatures in their chart that are about progression. So lots of signatures in the chart that have Neptune and Uranus conjunct together, which is, for me, I see that as such a spark of divinity and innovation in the chart, and very much that progressive, futuristic, forward-thinking mentality where there's more awareness about the impact of the environment, social awareness. This, especially with this Saturn return now, this next few years for these people who were born in the 90s, their Saturn is in Aquarius, and Aquarius is about who you are in society and how you're contributing. Are you in your alignment? Are you in your authenticity and your purpose? And how are you gifting that back into your community? So there's more of an awareness with that signature in the chart. And also just with the general astrology of the collective, it is moving into an era where we are more conscious of connection, community, especially with this new air era. So we're in like a new era astrologically. We're no longer in earth, we've moved into air. I'm not sure if you know, you know a bit about that. So basically with this whole air era, it is ushering us forward into a new way of operating in the world. So we're going to see advances in technology. Communication is going to be the central focus of everything that we do. It's no longer going to be about, we spoke about capitalistic strategies, about the material realm that's more so going to fall apart. Moving forward, it is about connection, it is about innovation, and it is about thinking outside the box. And so I feel with such an acceleration in technology, especially, so it's like there's more information than ever. There is so much information out there, it's almost overwhelming at times. So I feel that with all this information coming at us, it's going to rapidly speed up people's awakening. How can it not? If you're not on a phone, which I don't know anyone who's not on a phone, then it's just the likelihood of you being aware of issues in the world and your own personal growth and evolution is sort of inevitable in a way. Can't escape it now.
Yeah. Would you say that what you were just talking about, that this is all the new paradigm, what people call it, is that the same thing, or is it when people talk about the paradigm, is it something else?
I would say that everyone has their own idea of what is happening. It's all the same thing that people are talking about. People are talking about literally moving into higher states of consciousness. We're moving into 5D, 6D, you know, it's all the same thing that we're talking about. From an astrological perspective, the era of air is the new paradigm. It's the next 200-year cycle that is like, okay, we're moving into this. So this is how we're setting ourselves up for the new way of being. It can't be the old way anymore. That's gone. How can we move forward into this new cycle? So I guess it's sort of like all overlapping what people are talking about.
So when you speak about 5D and 6D, what exactly is your idea of 5D and 6D reality?
I think that it is, well, the higher states of consciousness that we go, the more that we are realizing that we are running different timelines, that we are becoming more and more aware of reality being more than just what is physically here in front of us. So it's almost becoming aware of density is the way that I think about it, and understanding that there is more, there has to be more to just what our attention and our focus is on in the present moment, as in you know, I wake up and I do this and I do that. There has to be more. So it's a growing of awareness. It's a growing of consciousness. And for me, I feel that accessing higher states within meditation is becoming more and more of a thing as we start to integrate and learn the tools to do so. I really feel like we are shifting consciousness at such a rapid rate. And I think it has a lot to do with the beings that are coming into the planet at this time as well. I feel like the babies who were born last year, the babies who are being born now, are literally here to like save the planet. I feel that. I've noticed such an influx of amazing women falling pregnant and having children in the last 12 months. It's like, that's for a reason. And I'm talking women that weren't able to fall pregnant previously, and all of a sudden they're pregnant and having babies when the world is falling apart. That is literally consciousness. Like, the universe is sending us beings to help us through this upgrade and through this transition. It's like mind blowing. I love it.
It is mind-blowing. I'm glad you said that, because I already thought maybe I'm making this up, but it feels like everyone is pregnant right now. Like, and especially, as you said, very conscious, spiritual women fall pregnant. I hear it all around, and I thought, okay, maybe I'm just imagining this or something, but I'm glad you said that too. And this is a very nice way of looking at it. I think that this is just a new generation that is really here for a higher purpose. And because we really need this, I mean, it's super last minute, I would say, to save this planet.
So, super last minute. I love that. Yeah. It's amazing how if you're aware to the cycles and what's happening. From an astrological perspective, the babies who are being born with the birth charts of this moment is like so Aquarian, which is basically the archetype of pouring consciousness and wisdom into humanity. So it's here to actually improve and upgrade the planet, which is like, again, like you said, so needed. Little star seeds.
Before we started recording this episode, we spoke shortly about spiritual bypassing. And that's also a term I came across quite often lately. And I would love to know what you understand with spiritual bypassing and how you think this is happening at the moment.
Yeah, it's always an interesting topic. I feel that The idea of spiritual bypassing is trying to hold on to the idea that something is going to fix you, or an external, let's take the example of crystals. I'm sorry, I love crystals. I don't know if you can see, I've got an altar here, I've got lots of crystals. It's the idea that that is going to fix you. And whilst I love crystals and I feel like they're the gateway drug into spirituality, it really opens up things for a lot of people, it's realizing that you are all you need. And a lot of people aren't satisfied with that. It's the need to go outside of themselves and seek external validation, whether that is through, a bundle of sage or a crystal or a talisman that they were told is going to do X, Y, Z. And I think that awakening is happening on the planet, and that is definitely going to accelerate people's understanding of what spirituality means. But spirituality is so simple that it's just sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I pan out and I look back and I just see that all of this is just so amusing in a way that on a higher level, our souls are probably just all laughing. You know, it's like, oh, look, the humans are playing with the crystals again. Like, how cute. You know, it's like, it's, you are all you need. And when you can actually sit with yourself with no distractions, then you are doing spirituality. The more that you get intimate with who you truly are without anything distracting you, you are in spirituality. It's as simple as that. We don't need to, look outside of ourselves for the answers. It's all within. And so that's where I really see in the industry when certain people are almost preying on individuals who want, people want to find out more about themselves. They want to get to know themselves on a deeper level, and they want to go through the spiritual journey and do the work. And to a certain extent, I really believe that it just comes to you. It's like you wait for a moment in your life when everything falls apart and you don't think you can pick up the pieces, but you manage to pick up the pieces. That's your spiritual journey. All of the lessons that you learn in that moment, that's all you really need. That's all you need. You don't need to decide one day, oh, I'm going to do some spiritual work. And then you go online and you look for someone who's selling you a manifestation course and you think that that's going to do anything. Yes, it might, but it's just so much deeper than that. And that's why I really feel like the key word moving forward for everyone is discernment and just question everything. And really hone your intuition. And what I mean by that is that almost hone your intuition to the point where you can see through someone's false messaging and whereabouts they're trying to target you. So if someone is trying to sell you a course or something like that, is it coming from a true heart-centered place? Or is it coming from maybe they're just trying to capitalize on that in a way and they're preying on people that are interested in this realm, but they don't know where to start. So they, do that, but it's all just a distraction anyway. You know, I think that moving forward, everyone really needs to come further into their discernment. And to do that, it's to listen to your intuition and understand that you are your own guru. Like numerologically, we are in a 5 year. So we are in the year that is symbolized by five, which is also associated with the Hierophant archetype. So in the tarot, the Hierophant is not looking outside of yourself. It is realizing that you are your own guru and that you are the one that holds the answers of what you're looking for. So I think that that's the theme of the year. And I feel like that's probably going to play out a lot more for sure.
Yeah, I think this message is so important that it is already within you, everything. And a lot of people tend to just go from one class to the other and seek on external spiritual happenings or activities in order to heal them. But I think it's so important to stress that it is already all in you and it needs to happen from your inside. And some people just jump from one class to the other, from one ritual to the next, and wonder why they're not healing. But it's because relying too much on the outside, whereas it has to sink deep. I mean, these things are beautiful and really important. I think all these courses and classes and offers, it is super important that they exist. And but in the end, if you don't do the internal work with this as a help, like you can take as many classes as you want and you won't see the change. And this is so important, I think, because it's so easy to get distracted with all the information, as you said, that are out there, and so many offers and so many things. So again, as you were mentioning before, it like trust your intuition, and also, as you said, how you were searching for your astrology class, maybe find someone who could serve as a mentor, someone you really deeply connect with, and then learn from that person and internalize it instead of jumping and jumping and jumping and then not really getting to the essence of all of this.
Exactly. I mean, I really noticed within myself when I started reading charts, when I wasn't looking at any books, I was channeling my actual intuition. That's when my readings were like, you know, next level, more accurate, just more juicy, because I was actually tapping into my inner knowing. And then it's like I had this aha moment. Yes, we do sometimes need the foundations. So like, by all means, I'm not saying don't do the courses. It's with intention. So if you know where you're at and what, you know, what you want to explore. So for me, it was, I want to build myself as an astrologer. So I need a framework. So I studied, I did the courses, but then what happens after that is even more important. It's like, okay, I've got the skills. Now I have to actually jump off the ledge and really trust myself with this, because I know everything. I've got it all. I don't need to keep referring to the books. I know it. So when I sort of took that leap and I completely started, you know, doing my readings more off the cuff, that's when it was almost like, yeah, I knew it. Like, we've all got that too. We've all got that. We just got to trust ourselves a little bit more in that, and just like take the risk and just follow that inner knowing.
Yeah, definitely. I have to think of a really nice quote there that puts it together so well. You are what you've been looking for. And I love that, because it, you know, it's already inside of you. It's all there. And then it's on you to trust that intuition and really look inside. Yeah, what is it that you can discover still there? It was so nice talking to you, and thank you for everything that you shared here. I became a bit smarter about astrology again with all the Saturn return and all of this. Is there one last thing that we didn't get to talk about, maybe that you think is really important to share here?
I think that, I guess the main thing that I am trying to teach with my clients and my own students is that now more than ever, and I have spoken about it a little bit previously, but now more than ever, we need to be so discerning, and we need to really, this is the year to build trust in yourself. We are going to almost feel like overwhelmed with information. There's going to be a lot in the next 12 months that will be presented to us that can potentially be, if you don't have solid footing in your trust in yourself and therefore trusting in life, then it could feel overwhelming and like a little bit unstable, and you're not sure what's going to happen in the world, and you're not sure, you know, we need to be really comfortable in change and uncertainty. And to do that, it's to deepen the connection with ourselves, because the world isn't going to stop. The information is certainly not going to stop. The technology is definitely not going to stop. It's just going to keep getting noisier and noisier and noisier. And it's up to us to be able to, like I said, number one, discern. Number two, ground yourself within who you really, truly are. Trust in yourself, for sure. And number three, learn to disconnect. Have boundaries. Have boundaries. Because if you feel overwhelmed, you have the autonomy to be able to disconnect when you need to and take that respite if things feel overwhelming. So I think that's my main message to everyone who's listening.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for being here and for the work that you do.
Pleasure. Thank you.